What's good, defenders? And the answer to that is not much right now, but that's okay. You know my voice. J.R. Liebert, the scarf. That's right. It's me, and this is episode 262 of the LAFC podcast, heard in 100 countries worldwide. And sitting to my right, in world-famous Phil the Monster Studios, back from his jaunts through both the beautiful country of Canada and the beautiful city of Detroit, I give you for today, apparently, Roy Philly Kent.
Fudge! Fooled you.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you had a mild heart attack right there. Hello, yeah. Los Angeles. Hello, lovers of Major League Soccer. Hello, fans of the beautiful game. And of course, hello to the millions.
And millions.
Of Defenders of the Bank listeners, episode 262, tumultuous times in Texas. Tumultuous times in Texas. Yeah, man. Yeah, it was. It's been an interesting weekend, and we didn't really have a lot of time to promote this thing going live. Part of the reason why we actually went live today is lazy tendency, Scarf. Lazy in the sense that if we went live, we knew we wouldn't have to edit or upload this later to YouTube. So I want to certainly thank everybody that has joined us so far and everybody that will be joining us, because we didn't promote this. We didn't think we would do this. Just didn't want to waste a half hour uploading it after we were done today.
I mean, I always like to go live. I am perfectly fine with doing all this stuff live. I think it is so much fun. Ox, Smalls, Kenobi, hello, everybody in the chat. This is a rough one for us, as it's been a rough week in general for the LAFC community. We'll get to that in just a minute. And this was certainly the exclamation point on what was a very rough week for all of us indeed. We want to remind everybody first that, of course, we are sponsored by Flex and FlexPowerTools.com. We've got all kinds of different fun events starting in the month of January. Lots of stuff happening with Flex and FlexPowerTools.com. So if you have any questions or need anything in the way of power tools, please head over to flexpowertools.com for a full lifetime warranty of everything you buy in 2023. And I want to remind everybody that the Mauricio Mo Fascio Futsal Court in Southeast LA fundraising effort is still underway. Please head on over to lafc.com/Mo-Fascio to donate. And I'm going to throw out a huge number today. And if you donate this amount, you go ahead and send us the confirmation that you have donated this amount, we are going to send you, because we have an order in, as of right now, for brand new Defenders of the Bank scarves. And we do have pins and other things that we are going to give away. If you donate this amount, then I am going to make sure that you get a brand new Defenders of the Bank scarf, some pins, and our first shirts. Once we roll merch off the line, you're going to get one of our first shirts that we have off the press if you donate $620. And here's why I say $620, because as of today, it has been 620 days since LAFC has won a match in the state of Texas. $620. So if you do it, I am going to give you a scarf, a shirt, some pins. We're going to take care of you, because we got to get this thing. We got to get this thing done. So Philly, normally I ask you what your number is, but top that.
I'm not going to top that unless I add an extra dollar to it. That is very well thought out and genius, for that matter. 620 days. October 20th, 2021 was the last time we won down in Texas. That's why we do say tumultuous times in Texas. The Lone Star State for us has been the losing state. I don't have anything clever, witty, or anything to say. That was good. Yeah, what he said earlier on, I am known to put my foot in my mouth, but not have a loss for words. And that was really good. So I'll add a dollar to what you said just to be spiteful, but other than that, that's kind of genius.
Sounds good. We want to take a second here at Defenders of the Bank to remember Chris Printup, who we all know much more known by Spanto, which was his name throughout not just the LAFC community, but through all of Los Angeles. And if he would have had a little bit more time, not much more, the world. That's for sure. Chris Spanto Printup was 42 years old when he passed away in a car accident in Albuquerque, New Mexico, earlier this week. The Venice-born and raised founder of Born and Raised had several collabs with LAFC. He was a fabric in the Los Angeles community. And his biggest collab, which was set to be a collab with Nike, was set to drop, I think it was July 20th or 21st. It has since been pushed back, according to reports, because of this. Chris Printup was LAFC to the core. He actually went back and forth on Twitter and social media with Galaxy fans. He let them know that I can't use the exact words that he said because it's a family-friendly show. But he stays with teams that are actually in LA, which he said several different times.
He doesn't frick with. You could say that.
Yeah, there you go. Just an incredible loss to all Angelenos, obviously to his family and friends and the extended community. We just wanted to take a minute here to remember Chris Spanto Printup, 42 years old.
Yeah, I mean, rest in peace indeed. It just, it comes at such a shocking time because obviously that Born and Raised LAFC collab just came out and everybody was really excited a week ago to go out and purchase all that stuff. As you can see, Scarf did what Scarf does, and that's buy scarves because that's what Scarf does. It's crazy. It's just another example of you never know when your time's going to come. Obviously we don't have all the details on what the deal was in Albuquerque, New Mexico, but regardless of what they were, enjoy every single moment that you can with your loved ones. Tell them you love them, live life to the fullest. Don't sit around thinking that, you know, oh, I'll wait to do something. Do something immediately because tomorrow is obviously never guaranteed. And here's another example of that, a man who battled the streets, battled obviously so many things, battled cancer for Christ's sakes. And succumb to, of all things, an accident in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It's rough. 42 years age. Scarf, it's my age. It's shocking, and it certainly takes the wind out of all of our sails. So much love and respect to an L.A. legend.
Yeah, if you wanted to know what kind of person Spanto was, the 2023 graduating class of Venice High School, every single member of the graduating class this year received a pair of the Nike kicks that he was set to drop worldwide. Every single member. He was obviously born and raised in Venice, California. For all of you out there, go Gondos. And it's just so sad. So just want to take a minute again. So rest well, Chris Spanto Printup, 42 years old. No easy way to segue from that to anything else, to be perfectly honest. But Philly, happy to have you back after you were at a wedding. You got to see a lot of your old fraternity brothers and friends up in. Now this was the Ontario that's in Canada, correct? Not the Ontario that's in the IE.
Yeah, a flight. Yes, a trip that required a stop in Detroit before a drive 2 hours north up the border. It's funny because just seeing all the signs for Ontario just made me cackle and giggle the entire way through because a lot of people thought I was calling games in Canada. Heck, people on the broadcast kept thinking that Ontario was in Canada. It was a good time, Scarf. It started out, interestingly enough, in Detroit because it was easy to fly into Detroit, rent a car and drive the 2 hours rather than go to Toronto because you would have to go way, way past it only to backtrack to it. And obviously the bride and the groom recommended that aspect. So the reason for it, yeah, my fraternity brother, one of the most important people in my life got married. So I was going to go out to Canada and visit him. His wife took a job as a professor at Western University in London, Ontario, the home of one Connor Kolopsis of 110 Football, XRM, and soap opera star fame. And my mom, Scarf, you're going to get a kick out of this because you know my mom. She calls me the day before. She's like, you're going to need to bring a mask. The air quality around there is bad. Like, you're going to need this. This is going to be so bad on your health. And my mom has a tendency to freak out when she reads things on social media and the internet. But when we got to Detroit, no joke, it was like walking through a smoky bar. It was unreal. The air was really bad. Like, you know that feeling you get when you're really like 1,000, 2,000 feet elevated above sea level where it's a little tough to breathe? Yeah. It was like that. It was nasty. It stunk. And you could see the toxicity in it. I couldn't believe it. Air quality, 164 AQI. Awful. But then
you don't want a high number in that, by the way.
But then we drove to Canada, and it was awesome. The wedding was great. About 15 or so of my fraternity brothers that were there. And just to piggyback off a moment of live life to the fullest and all that other stuff, it filled my heart and my soul seeing a lot of those people. And it sucks that I can't enjoy the time with people that I loved and had so many memories with on a consistent basis. But again, tell your loved ones out there, you love them on a consistent basis, and make those plans. Take that trip. Do what you got to do, because life's not guaranteed, man. And sometimes life is just a collection of all those beautiful moments that you have come across, not necessarily lived consistently. And that was a beautiful moment, seeing people that I love dearly and getting to hang out with my brother-in-law. It was just amazing, man. It was a really good time. And the stereotypes of Canadians being nice, it's so true, because within 5-10 minutes of you picking me up at the airport, I wanted to kill everybody at LAX. I never felt that way in Canada, just FYI.
Well, look, we're happy to have you back, my friend. Let's get into the news and notes before we talk about the breakdowns in Dallas. First of all, we do this day in LAC history. We're going to move right past that real quick and say congrats to our four All-Stars. Four All-Stars for LAFC. You might be thinking, what the heck is Scarf talking about? We only had two All-Stars named to the match against Arsenal, and I would say you are 100% correct. But we've got some MLS Next Pro All-Stars we want to recognize as well. Philly, Ryan Hollingshead getting his first All-Star call-up after, 10 seasons in Major League Soccer. He is extremely grateful for the opportunity. And the one that I would have to say is the no-duh selection between the two for LAFC would be one Denny Bawanga. So we've got two guys representing our club in the big game. And then a Johnny Nixon and Adrian Wibowo. Please remember these names. A Johnny Nixon and Adrian Wibowo, both named to the roster for the MLS Next Pro All-Star Game, which is actually being held at the Naval Base in Annapolis, Maryland. If I've ever wanted to go to a match before, I want to go there. I've never been on the Naval Base. I think that would be so cool. Congrats to a Johnny and to Adrian Wibowo. But Philly, I have some thoughts, but your thoughts on Ryan Hollingshead and Denny Bawanga representing LAFC as All-Stars.
Denny Bawanga, a no-brainer. I mean, top three, top four in the league in scoring. I have to double-check the statistics. I think he might still be two. I don't know. I just feel like he hasn't put in a series of goals in a long time, even though he has. No-brainer. And then Ryan Hollingshead, a coach's choice selection. Very well thought out and a heck of a defender. And it came at a really good time. Ryan Hollingshead, having played at FC Dallas for a long time, getting the good news before going back. We thought that would add a little pep to his step down in Frisco, Texas. But I'm happy for him. Coach's selection, you know, whatever. It could have been a fan vote. And after watching one Tyler Miller, you have to question what Coach Wayne Rooney thought in terms of selecting the teams that he did. Tyler Miller, put up a foul play. And yes, in honor of a certain listener that loves our show, I'm with you. I'm over Tyler Miller. It's just
Miller. Ryan Hollingshead, you mentioned it, the coach's selection.
Yeah,
that's kind of neat when the coach is Wayne Rooney, right? Like, this is a guy, this isn't some guy who's just been looking at video and who maybe played in high school for a little bit, then got his coaching license and is playing all the way up, and now here's coaching in MLS. This is Wayne Rooney that's saying he wants you on his team.
I like it.
Play Arsenal. Because Wayne Rooney, first of all, Wayne Rooney knows Arsenal, Philly. Wayne Rooney knows what it's like to go up against Arsenal. And for Wayne Rooney to say yes to Ryan Hollingshead, now granted, he did say yes to Tyler Miller being an All-Star. And Tyler, I love you, buddy, but yijole madre, this couple of goals you've given up in the last couple of weeks is just rough, brother. But kind of neat. And of course, obviously, I'll mention the other elephant in the room. I don't mean to call you an elephant, Walker Zimmerman, but another All-Star nod for former LAFC defender Walker Zimmerman. You can't go wrong with having Walker on the back line. So I'm just excited. Washington, D.C. could be fun. I don't know. I like the kits. What do you think of the kits, the All-Star kits?
The kits are cool. I don't like the game. I don't like the competition. I don't like the fact that we're going up against Arsenal. It's so dumb. If we lose that game, it just puts a nasty look on the league. I'm happy for Ryan Hollingshead. He deserved to be there. I'm happy for Denny Bawanga. He deserved to be there. You're right. Having Wayne Rooney as a coach is cool, and he certainly knows Arsenal, but he also knows his way around a bottle, hence why he chose Tyler Miller, because you've got to be drunk to choose Tyler Miller as your goalkeeper. I love the concept of the All-Star game. I just absolutely despise when we put our best against a team from Europe. It doesn't matter who. It just I like the Liga MX thing. This thing playing Arsenal or Juve or whoever else, it blows, man. I'm sorry. I don't like it. It blows.
No, look, I actually completely agree with you, Philly. I think playing these European teams, as much as, look, it's really cool to see Arsenal, but do you imagine, Philly, imagine the other way. Hold on. Declan Rice just signed with Arsenal, right?
Lame.
You imagine? Oh, Declan Rice, he's going to come over, play a little, maybe 15 minutes in a friendly, and something happens at Audi Field where he blows his knee out or whatever in the MLS All-Star game. Do you know what the Gunners fans would do over there? They would riot. They would burn down the building. I don't know what would happen, but do you imagine if something happens the other way around? I'll say this. My biggest problem is that MLS changed what they did in the very beginning. There used to be a team from the West and a team from the East. And I'll say this, those teams weren't nearly as talented as a team that you could put together from the West right now. Do you imagine being able to have a guy like Jesus Ferreira and Denny Bawanga on the same front line? Have a good time, whatever keeper you're going to put back there. Tyler Miller, there you go. All right, Tyler, stare down Denny Bawanga and Jesus Ferreira coming at you in the middle of an All-Star game. The clubs are so much more talented right now than they were when MLS first started this thing. And then they did this East versus West thing, which I think would be great. Back in 96, I don't want to go back to most of what we did in 96, but bring it back. East versus West, I want to see it.
100% agreed. Not only are the players better now than they were in 96, and no disrespect to the players in 96, but, you know, if we went back in time and pulled you and brought you now, you'd get smoked like a brisket. That's neither here nor there. But they're also more teams. They're far more teams right now than there were in 96. And so it would only make sense to have a West versus East All-Star game. And for all of us as fans of this league, I'm sure we would appreciate that. And I'm sure we would love to have representation from every team, our favorite players, going out there and battling it against each other. That makes it more compelling to me. Rather than going out there and playing a glorified friendly against a club from, you know, across the world, it's dumb. Go back to that Don Garber. We talked to you during the MLS Cup final. We know that you're a big fan of the pod, even though you didn't listen to us. We wanted Las Vegas and MLS. Now we got San Diego, whatever. Scarf's idea, East-West, let's go back to that. And I think we've talked enough about the All-Star game.
Philly, I have good news. We get another chance to have LAFC automatically debit money from our credit cards. This is very exciting.
Cash register noise. Cha-ching.
Yeah, right? The 2023 Campeones Cup is set Wednesday, September 27th at BMO Stadium. And of course, we get Gignac, the match we wanted in the first place. Tigres heads to LAFC for the fifth edition of the Campeones Cup. MLS has won the last three. The only one ever won was the first one by Liga MX in 2018 over Toronto. And of course, that was
León.
Tigres.
No, León won the Campeones Cup.
No.
Really? León won something.
They did. They won the Champions League just against us not too long ago.
No. Before that, didn't they beat? I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I just got back from Canada. I don't know. Listen, I'll look it up.
Everything is true on the internet. I found it on the internet. So either way, MLS has won the last three, and we get a chance September 27th, BMO Stadium, Campeones Cup. Okay. Philly, it looks like one of my favorite players to ever play in black and gold is actually coming back. Are we going to get to see the big sombrero, Mamadou Fall, come back to LAFC?
Hang on a second. Let's go back to this Campeones Cup real quick. You said Tigres is the only one who won?
Yes.
No, NYCFC won last year against Atlas.
No. The only Liga MX team.
Okay, never mind. All right, back to Mamadou Fall. Sorry, this is where the jet lag starts to come in.
That's okay. Philly, your thoughts? Steve Cherundolo has been talking very positively recently in press conferences about the maturity and the steps forward in growth. Mamadou Fall on the back line for LAFC?
It comes at a pretty good time. I don't know how long we're going to get to hold on to the young man. Obviously, there's a transfer window that opens up July 5th. But he would add a much-needed piece to our puzzle. As you could see, once we took out Giorgio Chiellini, the whole thing fell to crap. Mamadou Fall was an exceptional talent. Obviously, raw and plenty of time to mature and develop. But he caught the eyes of teams all over the world. I mean, he got to La Liga, which was kind of cool. I'm shocked that he's back on our roster and that nobody wanted to purchase him. But that's not to say that that's not going to happen. A heck of a journey, but he finds our way back into our roster. And we need him. We need some more depth pieces. I don't know if he's going to get to start if we have a fully healthy team. But we certainly need him right now. I'm excited for the fact that we have Mamadou Fall. He played against some really good talent. He probably has some really good ideas. And he's going to step in during a time we certainly need him to step in.
Philly, we have an all-time great in Giorgio Chiellini. We have a very recent MLS All-Star and a player who I think has taken another step forward this year in Jesus Murillo. We have one of the better U.S. men's national team center backs and one of the better MLS center backs ever in Aaron Long. We have Daniil Maldonado, who sometimes stays on his feet and is playing very well. And now we have Mamadou Fall. This all of a sudden, if everybody gets healthy and everybody comes back, it goes from a position of who in the heck are we going to put back there to how do we decide which one of these guys to put back there? It's going to be a lot of fun. Look, we don't know what it's going to look like yet. And speaking of which, Aaron Long still with the U.S. men's national team. He did not play in their 6-0 victory over St. Kitts and Nevis, but he will have a match today. This is July 2nd that we are recording this. Against our previous thorns in our side, Trinidad and Tobago. It is a massive match for the U.S. men's national team, as we really do need to secure first place in the group to avoid playing, I think it's Mexico and Canada in the quarters and the semis. I would like to avoid that if we can. Take the easiest road as possible. So we'll see what kind of burn Aaron Long gets. Philly, are you sad about Bob in Toronto and his buddy Mike Sorber? Your thoughts?
No, not even in the least bit. I was obviously sad to see him go from LAFC because I had no idea what the future would hold and who would be available. Bob, his time was his numbered. You can't have that kind of a roster. You can't have that much money being spent on bringing players and have the kind of record that you had. The Italians obviously did not like nor respect Bob. And as a result of that, he started losing the locker room really quickly, far quicker at Toronto than he did with LAFC. But that opens him up to new possibilities. We have Soccer USA in the chat saying he could go to San Diego. There's talks about him going to a club where he did have some success in the past, in that of the Chicago Fire. So while Bob might no longer be in Toronto, he won't be ahead of Major League Soccer long. I'm pretty sure about that. But he deserved to be fired. There's no reason Toronto should have held on to him. Look, he's a good coach, but Scarf, I think he's a relic, a thing of the past. We talk about college basketball all the time and how you like to stick the fact that Syracuse beat Indiana the last time they played. A guy like Bobby Knight, a legendary coach, a hard-nosed coach, while successful in that era, would not succeed with kids these days. Bob's stern ways are going to fall upon deaf ears the longer he remains a coach, because kids these days aren't trying to listen to a hardcore, domineering, commanding disciplinarian. They need somebody who's a little more empathetic and a little more soft-spoken, a.k.a. like a Steve Cherundolo, or even like a Brian Schmetzer. Brian Schmetzer's a more chill kind of a guy. But congrats to Bob. I mean, I say that with, you know, tongue-in-cheek. He'll be in Major League Soccer, and we'll see him again real soon.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. Somebody else that needs to get fired is whoever designed those league-wide Captain America All-Star warm-ups.
Garbage.
They sold out, right? LAFC's sold out online. That has to be because they made 12 in each size. I don't even know. I saw it on, who were they interviewing? Dominic Baggi of FC Cincinnati. They were interviewing Dominic Baggi, and they made him wear it during the interview. And good God, it's so Marvel and MLS teaming up. You're thinking this is going to be sick. Maybe LAFC gets like a Black Panther inspired kit or like a black suit Spider-Man kit, something. Look, I'm a giant nerd. I'd be all for any of those things. Those were awful. Whoever designed those, get out, go home. You're done. Don't do that.
I've often said that the great greatest art was created on some form of substance, but I think the substance was a little too toxic for anybody to have approved that design. It's like staring into a kaleidoscope. It's painful on the eyes. And if you recall the movie Mallrats, it's like staring at one of those things, trying to find the image in there. But I wouldn't want to stare at that thing for any longer than I had to. I looked at it, and you always want to trust your gut initially. I hated it. I will not spend the money on it. It's crap. It sucks. No, thank you.
Yeah, I just want to, real quick, we're doing this live. I just got a tweet from Tom Bogert about Chicho Arango. Oh, I'm just so sad. I can't. All right, got to move on. Philly, let's talk about Angel City for just a very quick second. Our Angel City Minute, they continued their solid run of form down in San Diego, defeating the Wave 2-1 in a 2023 Challenge Cup match behind two early goals, Madison Hammond and Clarice Lebion. Both scored inside of 20 minutes, and the ladies held on for their second 2-1 win in San Diego in 11 days. Since making a coaching change over to Becky, they are undefeated at 2-0-1. And Philly, they're going to the house that the energy drinks built. That's right, Red Bull Arena, to take on Gotham FC today at 2:30, which, by the way, we're going to be coming over to your house to watch that match. So that's going to be fun. Yeah, I'm going to see you at like 2:30, which means we have to be done with this podcast in like, I don't know, a half an hour or something like that.
So let's move it along.
Yeah. Philly, LAFC 2 beat Vancouver in their last match. Huge win, except it doesn't count. Yep, that's right. LAFC 2's victory over the Whitecaps 2 last week, they used an ineligible player, someone who should have been suspended for yellow card accumulation, apparently. So they were forced to forfeit, and they were issued an undisclosed fine. From my research, I believe it's Jeremy Batioja who they used, who should have been on yellow card accumulation suspension. It hasn't been confirmed, but so much for our first multi-goal big win of the season. LAFC looks to avoid the fate of our big club as they stay deep in the heart of Texas against North Texas SC today at, I believe it's 5:30. So again, July 2nd, we got Angel City playing. We got LAFC 2 playing. Lots of fun going on. No fun was had. Zero fun was had in Frisco last night.
It's funny that you just going over that. It sounds like something that would happen like a Serie D match. No reason to have stuff like that happen in MLS Next Pro, especially if you're trying to establish credibility within the league rough. You said it, Scarf. Your donation suggestion implied the time, the dollar amount mirroring the time that it's been since we last won a game in Texas. 2021, Texas has not been a fun place for us to go. The Lone Star State quickly becoming the loser state for LAFC. And LAFC's had their fair share of success against FC Dallas historically. Over the number of times they had competed against each other, LAFC's won 5 times. They drew twice, and FC Dallas has only won twice. So you think, based on history, it had a tendency to repeat itself. It did not. And with the run of form that Dallas had coming into this match, we didn't think it would be that tough of a game, having lost 4 out of their last 5, albeit the one win they had was 2-0 at the hands of St. Louis. That was an impressive game. No Jesus Ferreira, as he was out there scoring hat tricks against St. Kitts with the U.S. men's national team, did not think, with the laundry list of injured players that FC Dallas had, that we would have had the tough time that we did with them. And Toyota Arena Center, whatever the frick they call it in Frisco, we got fricked in Frisco. Tumultuous times. Let's unpackage the tape.
Yeah, I mean, look, just this season, we beat Dallas at home 2-1 on a late goal by Denis Bawanga. We took a 1-0 lead on what at the time was the 5th fastest goal in LAFC history, Timothy Tillman in the 3rd minute. We actually lost the lead after they had gone down a man to a red card in the 73rd minute, but Denis rescued all 3 points in the 84th. But of course, like you said, that was then. This is now. This was a club that won just once in their last 7, scored multiple goals just one time over that stretch. You mentioned it, the win over St. Louis 2-0. This was not a club that they were down 8 guys, Philly, 8 guys, including Ferreira. And it wasn't just Ferreira. Paul Areola, a very, very good midfield player, and a reason why I get to say Areola on the podcast. Tuomasi was out. Obreon was out. Jose Martinez was out. I mean, they had massive problems. Paxton Pomacall not starting and Sabalang not starting. There's just so many different reasons why we should have been able to handle this club. I do want to say they brought this up on the broadcast, and this was an incredible stat because of how much we blew this record out of the water. No MLS club in the history of this league since 96 had played anywhere near as many as the 29 matches that LAFC has played through July 1st. The previous record was just last year. Seattle Sounders, not 28, not 27, not 26, but 25 matches. Keijo, I got to put that comment up. We'll talk about that when we get there. I'm with you. But 25 matches was the previous record on July 1st. 29 for LAFC. If you don't think we're tired, we are definitely tired. And I don't mean we, because we are also definitely tired, but I mean us, as in black and gold. Nico Estevez, the former U.S. men's national team assistant, head coach for FC Dallas. They roll out their 4-4-2. Philly already talked about it enough. Jesus Fodetta not there. All the other guys not there. But a player who, I think I'd give this player man of the match, although I'm still not sure. Martin Paas, the Dutch keeper who made a couple of very, very good saves in the match. I don't think we asked a whole ton of him, unfortunately, but it's a clean sheet for Paas. Defenders that we are very familiar with in Marco Farfan and Sebastian Ibiaga on the back line, and defenders we're probably not as familiar with, and in Kosai Tafari and Giovanni Jesus. The midfielders were Edwin Cerillo, Facundo Quiñon, and Philly's favorite player, DuBois. Philly loves DuBois. Sebastian Legette, he does not love DuBois.
Lately, neither does Becky G.
No, not at all. Forward, Alan Velasco. Forward, Sam Junqua, who hadn't scored in 50-plus games.
Oh, more on that cherry popping later.
So upset. And making his first MLS start, forward Bernard Camungo.
More on that cherry popping later.
I just can't. In the 18, Paxton Pomacall, Jose Mulato, Tiki and Sabalang, and Amit Korka are the four that you want to mention. And the only other thing I will mention before I turn it over to Philly for the black and gold lineup is that the kickoff temperature was 83 degrees. Philly, black and gold, who we got?
83 degrees is not that big of a deal. But in Texas, it's the humidity you got to account for. An FYI. Making his 60th MLS appearance is one John McCarthy in between the pipes for LAFC. Cheeky Palacios making his 80th start as a member of the Black and Gold, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. I still feel like Cheeky got here a year or two ago. 80th start, that's nuts. Giorgio Chiellini, who was a godsend in the first 45 minutes of this game, not so much the second 45, not because of play, but because he wasn't there. Daniil Maldonado, and returning back to FC Dallas, Ryan Hollingshead. I heard on the broadcast, it was pretty cool, when they were talking to Ryan Hollingshead, they asked him whether or not he would celebrate if he scored a goal coming back to Frisco. And he said, I absolutely would celebrate. So it goes to show him that a chip and a pep to his step would be something we'd see out of him today. Timothy Tillman, my player to watch in today's game, making a start. Ilya Sanchez sporting the captain's armband. Eric Duenas, the young man, making another appearance starting for the black and gold in the midfield. And up top, we have our triple Bs. Love to start calling them the killer Bs, and I'd love for them to beeline a little better and finish and score a goal. But up top, we got Stipe Buick, Danny Buonga, and Matsi Bogush. As far as the 18 is concerned, if we're going to go through that, of note, we had Kellen Acosta back into the lineup, thank God. Carlos Vela, we had Nathan Ordaz, and Mahala Opoku, all of which should make an appearance. And rounding that out, Diego Rosales, Daniel Crisostomo, and the pelvis himself, Julian Gaines. And of course, we can't forget about good old Uncle Eldon. Eldon starting as the starting on the bench as the backup keeper for LAFC. And that's your lineup, managed by Steve Cherundolo.
Yeah, Philly, Cheeky Palacios, man. I remember when I was there when he came in from the airport.
Yeah.
I
have that photo. We have that photo. I think we posted that photo.
We did. It seems like only
a tiny dude.
Seems like only yesterday. That being said, you mentioned this is 80th start. Or 80th appearance, I guess, for LAFC? 80th.
Well, 80th start, actually.
Wow, okay.
60th appearance for JMAC.
We're going to have to wait for number 81, unfortunately. Going to have to wait for number 81. More on that in a little bit. Soccer USA, let's remind us about this question after we go over the match. It was a tale of two halves. Philly, you mentioned it with Giorgio Chiellini and Timothy Tillman in the first half, we looked great. I'll say this. I loved almost everything about the first half of play. We looked like we had, as Philly has been saying a couple of times, a little bit of a pep in our step. I think a lot of that was due to Matti Bogusz. I think Matti Bogusz was the best player on the pitch, not named Giorgio Chiellini, in the first half. And even then, you can make the argument that Matti was better than Giorgio in the first half. Matti looked incredible. I was really happy. I just felt like first half, second half, obviously, two totally different halves. But again, we can't finish, and we didn't look that dangerous inside the opponent's 18. And that's the biggest issue I think that we have here. What I loved, Philly, right at the start of the match, I'm used to it being Daniel Maldonado. I'm used to it being Jesus Murillo. I'm used to it being maybe even Aaron Long at times. I am not used to seeing my boy, Giorgio Chiellini, being the one that's pushing up in this match, playing inside the attacking zone. Giorgio Chiellini playing up at center back at age 30. Is it 39? Did he just turn 39? Is that right? Oh, my goodness. I love it.
38, I know for a fact. I don't know if he just turned 39. Oh, this is me not Googling and answering the question really quickly, because I don't like doing research on the fly, because it's normally all up here. That's why y'all are entertained by us. That's why we get paid, because we got the knowledge here. We drink and we know things, although I haven't really been drinking much in the last 2 months.
August 14th, he'll be 39. August 14th.
The day after I turn 43.
Yeah, I just... He was such an important part in this game.
Yeah, he had a great ball into the box, man. I wish Matti would have headed it on target in that 6th minute.
Yeah, I mean, look, that was our first real offensive threat. And the ball, it was a one touch in the air with his left foot, by the way. Left foot, Giorgio Chiellini, ambifooted, ambipedal, he uses both feet really well. What a great pass from Giorgio Chiellini. Matti over the bar on that one. But what I love about that play too, Philly, wasn't as much the pass. It was that Matti was ready for it.
Yeah.
He was already in position. The kid is what, 19 years old, and he's already playing with Giorgio Chiellini and that like symbiotic relationship that they have already. I absolutely love it. I did not love the stupid yellow card. He was my player to watch. And Philly, do you remember why I said he was my player to watch? I said he would be my player to watch because I said he'd be pissed off about not making the All-Star game. Well, he played pissed off, but here's the problem with Cheeky Palacios. Sometimes we get good pissed off Cheeky Palacios, and sometimes we get bad pissed off Cheeky Palacios. Now, his defending in this game was fine, but in the 8th minute is exactly where we got bad pissed off Cheeky Palacios. A yellow card off a foul from behind, and I believe, right, if our research is correct, Philly, he is going to miss the Carson match due to yellow card accumulation.
It's frustrating because we know how talented he is and how important he is, and I appreciate the fiery competitiveness of it, but that was a stupid foul beyond a shadow of a doubt. And it not only cost us this game, because it kind of prevented his ability from being a little more aggressive defensively, but for him having to sit out a game, that's going to hurt us even more. So he needs to do a better job at finding that balance between playing pissed off positively and negatively. You can't let your emotions get the best of you in any set of circumstances. That was way too quick, way too early in the game for that to happen. And it hurt us then, and it's going to hurt us tomorrow. Cheeky, you need to do better about that BS, bro. I get it. Just taper yourself a little bit. Harness that energy and utilize it with a great pass or a great shot on target. Don't push somebody from behind and then get pissed off that you got a yellow card, because it freaking costs us, man. Stupid. You should know better. Your 80th start in this league. You know how the officials are. You can't do that kind of crap.
Yeah, especially this official, by the way, a very experienced official who I thought he was fine. I thought he missed a couple calls both ways, but I think he's one of the better pro referees. He escaped Ukraine with his family due to the conflict there, and has been reffing in MLS for the last year or two. So happy to have a much more quality official. He's done, Champions League qualifiers, Europa League matches, all kinds of stuff they were talking about on the broadcast. We got a little lucky that he was paying attention in the ninth minute as John McCarthy fouled in the box. So he coughed up the ball. It went into the back of the net, but it didn't count. But that being said, a good moment for LAFC to get their heads back on straight, because seeing that ball go into the back of the net there early on had to be a little bit of wake-up call. I loved the set pieces by Mati Bogusz in this match. He had one in the 10th minute where it was a good corner, but Alan Velasco coming in to help out on Denny Bawanga. I thought Ryan was playing a little amped up, 14th minute, right? He has this beautiful steal, comes up, intercepts the pass on Alan Velasco, but then passes it to Casper. I don't know who was out there. I don't know who he saw. Maybe John Cena. You can't see him very often when he's out there, but there was nobody there, Ryan. Nobody there. He made the right pass, I guess, but there was just nobody there. And then Philly, a really nice job by Daniil Maldonado staying on his feet in the 17th minute. Proud of him.
Yeah, legit had a really nice pass into, an eventual goal scorer, but Daniil Maldonado making that play, breaking things up, leading to a corner for Dallas. Nothing comes as a result of that. Then the only other real key event, if you watched on the app Major League Soccer, occurred in the 23rd minute. Stipe gets a hard foul by Jesus. Shin kick, no question about that. Yellow card on FC Dallas. So within 23 minutes, we have two important pieces from each team, both committing yellow fouls.
Yellow fouls.
So that's what happens on that note. Free kick by LAFC occurs shortly after that. And you got Martin Paz with a save of the week candidate, Mati Bogusz. It was an amazing, amazing attempt. And you watch Paz had his eyes on this the entire time because he didn't react until that ball just hit the ground. Then he went to make the save, getting his mittens on it. But like you said earlier, Mati Bogusz, dangerous on set pieces, a position that he's in, a role that he's taking that he's a lot more comfortable doing. And that really was our best attempt, if not of the game, certainly within the first 20 or so minutes of this game.
That was an incredible save by Martin Paz. Again, Mati, though, being dangerous. I love that. Just a minute later, right, he gets another corner. The ball cycled out to Denny Bawanga. His strike was high. And then he earns us another free kick just another minute later after Tafari fouls him. And this time he whips it in beautifully, but nobody's there in the box where he has to be. So Mati Bogusz keeping us on our set pieces with Carlos Vela and Kellen Acosta both on the bench. To have somebody like Mati Bogusz able to put these balls in spots like they are supposed to, Giggity, I really thought that we would have something come of it. Unfortunately, we couldn't. I really like the steal by Stipe Buick. Tillman pokes it away from behind. Stipe cuts the ball across the mouth of the goal, but unfortunately, Denny Bawanga swing and a miss for Denny on that one. Again, I think he's just so amped up. Philly, half hour in, we get a hydration break. By the way, I did want to mention, 22nd minute, Eric Duaneus absolutely shivers Marco Farfán on a nice hard challenge. I just want to mention that because I love Eric Duaneus. And I really liked one of the cool matchups, Philly, in this game was Alan Velasco and Eric Duaneus. They were going at it on the opposite side. They were on the same side as each other for most of the match. And you could tell there was a lot of appreciation for the competitor on the other side between those two guys. Velasco's 20, Duaneus is 19. And I think they're going to be seeing a lot of each other on the international circuit as they go through their careers. Philly, after the hydration break, Timothy Tillman with a nice pass to Cheeky down the side in the 34th minute. We just couldn't do anything with the ball moving forward. And Philly, I didn't think progressive passes is a thing that you and I talk a lot about with like Vince and other people that are like stat heads and all that. I want to know how many progressive passes that we had, which is a pass that leads the next player forward by 5 yards or more, I think it is. I got to go back and look up the exact wording of the stat, but we just don't seem progressive right now. Maybe we need a little flow in our lives.
No, yeah, it was a great pass by Tillman, but when Cheeky got it, he in turn had a crap pass himself. Yep. Honestly, there was really nothing after that hydration break that was really worth noting, other than right around the 45th minute where Palacio tried to get it. He actually like redeemed himself to a certain extent, getting the ball over to Giorgio Chiellini. He just didn't get a good boot on it, and there was no play to be made on there, but that was really it. After 30 minutes, you know, we have 2 minutes of stoppage.
Yeah.
That's it. I don't have anything else to say. If it's okay with you, I'd like to get into first half stats.
Go right ahead, my friend.
It was a dominating 45 minutes by us, albeit with the last 15 minutes of the half, not really anything. I mean, we had 8 shots to their 2. We had 1 on target, an exceptionally beautiful 1 on target to their goose egg, to their 0. We had the lion's share possession almost at 60%. Our passing accuracy was on point, man. Dallas couldn't do a good job stringing together enough passes to even get to a satisfactory level as per the rating system of J.R. Robert, math teacher and Latin teacher extraordinaire. And we also had more set pieces than FC Dallas did, more opportunities. We were equal on fouls, 5 offside, couple yellow cards a pop, and that's your first half. But you'd have to go into the locker room with Steve Cherundolo thinking, all right, these boys are playing pretty well. We're getting in there. We're getting our opportunities. At about 25% of our shots that we took on target. So this could bode well for us going into the next 45.
No, you're absolutely right. Look, first half, we looked fine, right? It was almost that like Atlanta United performance, right? Where we had a lot of things going forward. We were at least in and around the box enough, just couldn't get it into the back of the net, obviously. But we were creating a decent number of chances. And look, I'm going to preface what I'm about to say with they're both coming back from injury or still recovering from injury. And with the humidity and the heat and the travel and a game against Carson in just a couple of days, I understand why Steve Cherundolo makes the substitution that he does to start the second half. Kwadwo Opoku, Kellen Acosta for Giorgio Chiellini and Timothy Thoman. But in my opinion, we were completely out of sorts up until the 65th minute. So 20 minutes of us playing completely out of sorts. Congrats to Kellen Acosta for coming back. His first match since June 4th. It has been a while. For most players, that means he would miss maybe 2 or 3 matches. For LAFC, that means he's missed 114 matches for us in just like 20 days. But that being said, I really felt like for the next 20 minutes, and that would be until the 65th minute, Carlos Vela subbing on for Ilya Sanchez. For the next 20 minutes, Philly, I thought we looked lost.
I mean, it was the domino effect that led sort of to this defeat. Obviously, Giorgio Chiellini, a big part of our back line, and Timothy Thoman, a big part of our midfield. But we had a couple of really nice plays. I mean, the 50th minute to start things off for us, Danny had a great run from around midfield. Some fancy-ass footwork that created some space for himself, takes a shot but just misses it. There's no real stat on that, Scarf. But, I mean, that's some high-profile elite maneuvering, which goes to show you how valuable of a player he is for us. And he's aggressive. He can do things. He's obviously our leading scorer. But once again, when he doesn't convert, we don't score. It's either him or Carlos Vela to some extent. Otherwise, we're putting up goose eggs time in and time again. 2 minutes after that, Bogusz off the free kick, still being a menace, tried to connect with Kellen Acosta, and that would have been a phenomenal welcome back, Kellen, but he right. just misses it. As I said, Bogusz getting more and more threatening off of the off his role taking set pieces. I'm enjoying watching his development for sure. Now I just want to see more of the finished project. 3 minutes after that, Mahala connects with Denis, who takes an aggressive shot from outside of the box, but right to Paez. And so that's exciting for us coming out of the gates. But unfortunately, a minute after that save by Paz, FC Dallas strikes.
I'm sorry, but a long throw into the box that leads to a goal like that, something broke down defensively. I got to go back and look at it. Was that Ilya Sanchez that couldn't quite get to it, got muscled off? I think it might have been Ilya. It just... awful, slow, lazy defending. I don't know where John was on the play, but John certainly didn't look like he was where he needed to be on that. It was kind of the way that Giorgio scored his only goal, right? That little toe poke as the ball kind of fell to his foot. It's exactly what happened to Camungo, but Camungo, it came off of just an ugly, awful set piece. Really frustrating. That's how we give up a goal. And look, I know we got Maxim coming back in the next couple of months, maybe a month or so is what we're hearing. I don't know. But a couple of soft goals recently by John. I know, look, we are massive fans of John, but that one was a soft one to me. And I think he needed to be a little bit more aggressive. coming completely against the run of play in the 56th minute, LAFC is now down 1-0.
It was like a scene out of the Matrix where everything all of a sudden slowed down.
Yeah.
The ball off of the throw-in, I think it was Jesus who had the throw-in. Yeah, it made some contact with Safari. But then the minute it plops in front of Kamungo, it's like time stopped. You saw him, you saw where J-Mac was, and they both sort of went at it very, very slow. I don't know if McCarthy realized where Kamungo was, but he does absolutely toe-poke it past him for the first goal of the game and during his first start for him to get one. And this kid's got a pretty unbelievable story. Tanzanian, born and bred, played for their national team. That's why he didn't feature in the last game against Austin. Moves to Texas, plays high school soccer. He's at North Texas SC, which is becoming a pro football producing institution. And he got rewarded on a very interesting looking goal, which was a Lemony Snicket series of unfortunate defensive events by LAFC. And now we're down 1-0. And that was really a massive punch to the face to our team because it felt like things unraveled after that.
Yeah, look, we got lucky in the 63rd minute that Kamungo didn't see Velasco on the opposite side, and also lucky that Cheeky Palacios got the ball and not the man on the kind of slide from behind. I'm not loving the way that Cheeky played in this match. He was my player to watch because I thought there could be something great that happened with his aggression. It was not great. 64th minute, Mahala to Deniba Wanga. And he put it right at Martin Paz again. It was a hard shot, though, so he just had to save it out for a corner, but he saw it the whole way. And then at least in the 65th minute, you know, Daddy comes walking through the door and kind of settles things down a little bit. Carlos Vela coming on for Ilya Sanchez. No knock on Ilya. I just don't think he was a factor anymore with the guys who were out there and in the way that we were structured at that point, but Carlos Vela really helped settle down this match. And Philly, none more so than in the 68th minute. I don't know how Denny doesn't do more with that ball from Carlos Vela.
A glorious pass, which goes to show how awesome of a facilitator Carlos can be and how much of an impact he can have. I think what the stat was on the 28 goals or whatever that LAFC's had, I forget the number, maybe 17 of which came by way of either Carlos or Denny. I'd have to double check that stat where I came across that. I know I didn't just pull that out of my rear end, but Denny didn't get proper booting on it because I think when he kicked it, it bounced off the ground and just the trajectory of it just went to the right of Paz, to the left of us on our screen. An awesome opportunity. It just wasn't Denny's day. And it's not because of a lack of effort. He had more shots than anybody else on either team. He had 6. But we rely on him so much. And it's like a game, and we've all played some sport, I'd hope, or at least we'd think. I know I have, you have. When you have the kind of game in which you're trying to take all these shots and things just aren't falling your way, you're eventually going to get frustrated, and it's just going to lead into like the way you're thinking and like your attitude towards the game. I love the fact that Denis kept trying and trying, but you'd think that his missed attempts were just getting to him. But the problem is, when he doesn't convert or if Carlos doesn't facilitate, just don't score goals. It just goes back to what Mariano Trujillo on the broadcast said, and you and I had the opportunity of working with him at 110 Football. Mariano Trujillo, a very nice guy. He said it. We don't have a number 9. We need that cold-blooded kind of assassin. Chicho Arango was that for us, having scored 35 goals during his tenure at LAFC. We don't have that. Denis is the closest thing to that, but that's not effectively what he should be. We need somebody like a Chicho. We need that legit number 9 whose only job is just to come through like that. Because no Denny, no Vela, we don't have any scoring options. And that was just another missed opportunity for us.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what moves we make coming into July 5th. I did look up, by the way, LAFC 2 played North Texas in their first ever match Sunday, March 26th. So you're looking at the very beginning of the season. Starters in that match for North Texas SC would be a Bernard Kamungo and Mulatto, both on the front line. So this is a kid that was starting for North Texas at the beginning of the year in Kamungo. By the way, also starting for LAFC 2 was Eric Duenas, Nathan Ordaz, Diego Rosales, and Julian Gaines. So it's not like we had some scrubs out there, but he's definitely, this kid Kamungo has come a long way in a very short amount of time. Hydration break in the 70th minute. Nathan Ordaz coming on for Eric Duenas in the 80th minute. Not a ton to really talk about here. Paxton Pomykal comes back on to the pitch for the first time since June 7th for Alan Velasco in the 82nd minute. I mean, Junqua in the 83rd turns, fires, 84th minute.
No, but that inspired him. That certainly, don't say on the inspired. It inspired him greatly 7 minutes later.
Well, I think what happened actually is that he got cooked by Denis Bawanga just a minute after that. I mean, Denis goes absolutely through him for a corner kick and another good corner by Mati Bogush as Paz has to punch it away. I got real frustrated with Mahala in the box in the 87th minute as he really couldn't do anything. But whether you think it happened because of that play in the 83rd or I think it happened because of the play in the 84th, Philly, there's no denying what happened just before stoppage.
No denying it. Yeah, Junqua inspired, as we mentioned. Dude, a goal of the week candidate. How he made that play happen was amazing because he was all the way on the sideline getting pressured by a couple of our defenders. And somehow he drops it off to, I think it was, who was it? Nsabaleng, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But yeah. He gets it right back to Junqua. And with three defenders right by him, you have Ryan Hollingshead, I think, to the right of him, Stipe to the left, and Mati Bogush behind him. He fires home a missile that absolutely stunned not only us, but John McCarthy, who instantly fell to the pitch in disbelief and disappointment. Look, he had no way to make that play. No way. It was just too far to the side of him. It was an unbelievable shot and a career first for Junqua. We talk about how Jesus Ferreira was the main catalyst and the main offensive weapon for FC Dallas, having, 10 goals on the season. Most notably after that, Alan Velasco with 2 goals and 2 assists. But really just a couple of other players with 1 goal a pop. Not only does Kamungo get his first start and get a goal, then Junqua, and like you said, 50-plus games, never scoring a goal in Major League Soccer. It's nice to know that we as LAFC could be the icebreaker and the cherry poppers for these two. Now they're going to come in to games against us thinking all these positive things. And for all the references we make to FC Dallas's FC Ribeye Steak, at that point, they certainly were the ones to stick the fork in us and cook us because we were done at that point. Another tumultuous time in Texas resumes as we lose another game we controlled.
Yeah, just to put a finer point on the stat for Junqua, he actually does have 3 MLS goals, but that was his first goal in 50 games, or he only had 1 in 50 games before then. So this is a guy, it's a journeyman. He barely played with Rio Grande Valley Toros and the Houston Dynamo. I mean, it's just a frustrating goal. We gave him way too much space up top. I think John was a little flat-footed, but that's okay.
Look, you wouldn't have made a play anyway, dude. It was just a great shot.
We had the ball a ton, couldn't do a damn thing with it. Dallas didn't even want to move forward. They only completed, less than 200 passes the entire match? You're talking about they averaged basically 2 passes completed a minute in the match. This is one of those where we just sucked. It's really frustrating. I mean, you want to go over the stats, we'll get into the schedule, and then we got to look forward to this match on the 4th.
Yep, stats. So as I mentioned, we domineered this game, man. I mean, we had 15 shots to their 7. We had 3 on target to their 2. We had 63% possession to their 37. Our passing accuracy was much better again. We had 200-plus more passes than FC Dallas did. We had more opportunities on the set piece. We had way more offside than the other team did. And we had more offensive threats. The expected goals for us, we should have won the game, although that's a stat that is what it is. I think it was 1.13 to their 0.85, but they were a lot more deadly on the set piece from that perspective. I mean, there's your stat line. And the unfortunate thing is, this is our 7th loss since May 23rd. And that loss that started this out happened to be against the team that we're going to be playing on Tuesday, 4th of July. Time to exercise those demons. But yeah, they're your stats, man. I mean, heading into this July 4th game against the LA Galaxy.
Yeah, 7th loss in our last 10 matches. We now sit 2nd in the table as St. Louis wins and we lose. They are now on 35 points from 20 matches. Their goal differential of 15 starting to become a little bit of a concern because now it looks like we need to overcome them, not just on points, but maybe on goal differential at some point. We sit tied on points with Seattle at 32 and tied on goal differential at 7, but we do have 2 games in hand against the Sounders, which is nice. Also, don't look now. despite a minus five goal differential and Chicho Arango not yet playing, RSL has climbed up to fourth with 30 points, just 2 points behind LAFC. And Dallas, with this win, moves to fifth on 29 points. Look, for the race for the Shield, we talk about the Shield. We're 12 points back with 15 matches to play. It's going to be real tough to catch Cincinnati. 12 points back with 15 to play. And Philly, this match is our first of five in 15 days, because of course it is. Why not? July 1st, obviously, we played in Dallas. July 4th, we're going to break the MLS attendance record for now at the Rose Bowl. That record is going to be broken about 17 times in the next 2 years, thanks to one Argentine who's going to come over and do some things for Miami. But we'll at least have the record on the 4th of July. And then on the 8th of July, at BMO, San Jose. On the 12th of July, at BMO, St. Louis. And on the 15th, Minnesota. Look, Minnesota's not that good, but they can play very well. I think they won 4-1 in their last match. Philly, Carson, San Jose, St. Louis. These are some of the top teams and our rival in the West. This gauntlet of three matches all in or around Los Angeles, we need to take all 9 points from these three matches if we want to do anything to secure our spot at either the top of the Western Conference standings and have any shot as a supporter shield.
After the game against Minnesota United on the 15th, we go on a 2-week break before we start concluding things in this Campeones Cup. It's getting rather tiring hearing this rhetoric about how we are tired. We have played 29 games. At the end of the day, what's actually killing us is just our lack of depth. These are professional athletes. They know that what factors they have ahead of them, whether it be weather-related, elevation-related, fatigue-related. At the end of the day, there's still a job that needs to get done, and that's win games. And that's something we haven't been doing very well for a series of things. But after this July 15th game against Minnesota, we really don't have any more excuses afterwards. At some point in August, late August, early September, we'll realize how good of a team we really are. Hopefully, once this transfer window opens July 5th, we'll get a couple of reinforcements and move a couple of pieces around the board to help our season out. Because we sort of ran into something similarly last year where we had those lulls, and those lulls kind of concluded in the great state of Texas. After that, we started picking up things and running towards the playoffs. Now, this supporter shield doesn't look like it's going to happen for us unless all those teams that are ahead of us have a horrific end to their season. But we need reinforcements. This team built the way it is, this isn't going to be a team that's going to take us far in the Western Conference playoffs. We need a little more depth. We need a number nine. We need to be able to finish better the final third of the pitch. It's great to build all these opportunities and have all these chances, but if you can't convert, who cares? It's like, well, engaging in a consensual relationship with a significant other and having all that buildup, all that sweat, all that excitement, all that aggression, and not to finish, that's just a waste. And that's kind of how our games and the season's been going these past couple of games. I get that they're tired, but at the end of the day, we need to stop using that as an excuse. They need to capitalize on their efforts, and more people other than Carlos Vela and Denny Bouanga need to do that.
Philly, I don't know what you're going through at age 42, but I appreciate you sharing that with everybody here on the podcast. That being said, look, we got a lot of people saying we need to stop being victims and get the job done. We need to execute these chances we created. I'm going to say this. The normal MLS season is 34 matches in length over the course of about 9.5 months. 34 matches in length over the course of 9.5 months. When we finish that game against Minnesota United, speaking of finishing, when we finish that game against Minnesota United, we will have played 33 matches in just the first 4 months of the season. 33 matches. 33 matches. I get that execution is a problem. I get that rest and fatigue is a problem. But one of the other major issues that I have, and after this, I don't really want to talk about this damn game anymore. One of the major issues I have is with Major League Soccer. And I know we signed up for the season, LAFC did, knowing that if you win MLS Cup, There are so many other mechanisms in place that make it difficult, right? But what you also then can't do if you're Major League Soccer is you can't then throw on tournaments like League's Cup and throw in tournaments or matches like the Campeones Cup and throw in all of these other things that we have had to deal with in terms of Champions League deep runs and an Open Cup and all of these other ancillary factors that weren't part of the equation when some of these antiquated salary and roster rules were set in place. So you can't have a team play 33 matches before July 15th and not allow them to keep their reinforcements, not allow them to spend on a little bit of a depth piece if they need to here and there, and deal with injuries, and deal with international duty, and deal with transfer window issues. What MLS has done a great job in is keeping parity by causing issues with the teams that are at the top and doing well. And that's what we're seeing. So you're absolutely right, Philly. We get a little bit of a break after July 15th to get everybody back, everybody healthy, and the players who we will bring in when the transfer window opens. Those players will get acclimated. We'll get everybody as healthy as we can. No word on Murillo. No word on Palencia. I don't know who the next man up is. Maybe Julian Gaines on that outside back position with no Cheeky Palacios. But my issue is more with Major League Soccer because we have created this issue for Major League Soccer. Major League Soccer had never had a club play 29 matches before July 1st, only 25. And you saw what that did to Seattle last year. Not making excuses for them, but we're going through a lot of the same things, except we are still near the top of the table. We are still dealing with these things better than Seattle did last year. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that we will be playing 33 matches through July 15th, and yet look where we are in the standing. Sure, we're not executing. We're dead-ass tired. But either way, it's on MLS, and they need to change it, because if you're bringing Messi in and you're doing all of the different book manipulation that you're doing in Miami, you better make it across the board for everybody else.
You know what's comical about Messi coming in and money being the way that it is? If you look at the MLS rules and regulations in 2023, obviously, minus the three designated players that you have, but defenders, listen to this. The salary cap for a Major League Soccer team is $5.2 million. $5.2 million. Messi has that in a sock. $5.2 million. The max TAM salary, targeted allocation money, which is something that Chicho Arango was on, $1.6 million. Comical. How are we going to keep players and bring in players on rules like this? Yep. I hope that with Messi coming in, it's going to blow the roof off of this. The parity won't be there anymore, but that's life.
Boo-hoo.
It's going to force owners to pony up and spend money. And there are owners out there that have the money and don't pony up. I'm talking about Stan Kroenke in the Colorado Rapids.
Sure.
I might feel for some of the other owners, but at this point, this is the way the world of sport works. To the victor goes the spoils. And if you got money, you got to do your thing. But $5.2 million salary cap for a professional team in the United States? What do you say? Horse pucky.
Horse pucky. By the way, Pucky is coming to MLS. More on him in a little bit. But look, RSL adapted real quick. They started spending money. They brought in Chicho and all these other guys. Clubs will adapt, but force them to adapt. Don't force clubs to have a worse product. How stupid is that, that your league is forcing clubs to have a worse product because they win? Do you think that the NBA, do you think David Stern went to the Lakers and went, hey, I know you've got Kareem and Magic and Worthy and all these other guys, but do you mind breaking them up so you don't go to five or six finals? And hey, Bird, McHale, Parrish, all these other guys. Hey, LeBron and your banana boat gang that you had everybody with in Miami. Come on, bring on the dynasties. Let them happen. I got nothing else to say. And I got to get on the road because we got to get to you in like an hour.
Well, we do. As you can see, I'm wearing my AFC Richmond jersey. I'm harnessing Roy Philly Kent. Fudge. But I'm trying really hard to believe, and you've got hope. I'm trying really hard to believe and to utilize these last seven losses since May 23rd, goldfish mentality. And by the way, shout out to my wife, Panda, for getting me this amazing jersey. If you go to Nike, their website is where you could cop this beautiful jersey. About $105, which, well, it's a lot of money, but I like it. Believe and Goldfish mentality. We move forward in an attendance set record-setting match in Pasadena, where, oh, I'm looking forward to 4th of July. There'll be fireworks, not only in the air, Scarf, on the pitch, and hopefully not too many in the stands. And that is all I got.
That's right. Be safe, everybody, if you're going out there. We'll talk more about that on One More Sleep tomorrow.
Yeah.
But that being said, you guys know how we like to end each and every one of our episodes, including 262.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.